am just blown away with the guy who's in studio right now. It's 7:10 in the morning. I'm going to say right now that there's no way we're going to have a chance to bring Pete Carroll on the air this morning, Billy Ray, at 7:40. I would think David Goggins, U.S. Navy SEAL, is probably going to occupy this hour of the show, I'm guessing.
Listen, if Pete's listening, he'll probably ask David to come up and, you know, put on a uniform.
Man, I'm telling you right now, for all these Navy SEALs that we've talked to here with these war stories of the Navy SEALs, we've never talked to a guy like this. And I'll tell you real quickly that when we were down at the Navy SEAL facility down in Coronado, somebody had said to me, hey, have you ever heard of David Goggins before? And I was like, no, I never heard of him. And they started telling me this story about how he was going to do the Race Across America, which is a bike race 3,000 miles from Oceanside to, where's it go to, Dave?
To Annapolis, Maryland.
Yeah. And I was like, no, I never heard of him. And then when they told me about it, I'm like, you know, he's got to come do the Qualcomm Million Dollar Challenge with us, where we ride from San Francisco to San Diego for the Challenge Athletes Foundation. I mean, he'd probably ride it straight.
You could do it backwards.
Right. I mean, we stop every 100 miles. He'd probably just ride the whole thing, wait for us at the finish line to raise money for Operation Rebound. But this guy is an amazing person, and I don't even know where we're going to start with him. Let's just, first of all, say good morning. Thanks for coming in, David.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So, U.S. Navy SEAL. Let's go back to high school. Where'd you go to high school at?
I went to high school in a very small town called Brazil, Indiana. Out of, I think 8,000 people, there's probably maybe 10 black people. I was one of those. So very
small
town.
You were one of those black people.
That was it. Very, very small town with no black people. I was that one black person.
Yeah. And I'm guessing that when you grow up in that kind of an environment, going into the Navy SEALs where, quite frankly, they're trying to recruit more black people,
right?
You're like probably the only black guy.
Well, there's not many of us, you know. It's like Brazil, Indiana, a lot of times.
I asked about the demographics when we were down there, and they said most of the guys come from either the Deep South or the northern part of the Midwest, and they said that and it's predominantly a Caucasian group. I don't really know why. Can the brothers not swim, or what's the story?
Well, if you look at it, that's kind of the truth. You know, if you look at, you know, like the demographics of everything, a lot of black people don't swim. If you look in the Olympics, how many blacks do you see out there swimming? If you look at water polo teams, how many blacks do you see playing water polo? It's a very small percentage. So my general thinking is a lot of blacks just aren't, you know, brought up around the water like that. You know, if you look, it's like a lot of inner city. There's not a lot of pools like where you do lap swimming. You know, if you go to like a lot of white communities, you have lap pools with, you know, in the high schools. Things like that.
Water polo teams
exactly.
At the high schools.
Yeah. Right. You know, in predominantly black communities, you have, you know, your football, your basketball, you know, things like that. And in the white communities, you know, they have a lot of the different, you know, sports.
So when you come out of high school, what's the game plan? Because how do you become a Navy SEAL? I mean, I read on your website, I saw the pictures. You were a power lifter at like 290 pounds.
Right.
What are you walking around at right now?
Right now I'm about 200 even. About 196, 200.
And so out of high school, are you enlisting in the Navy or what are you doing?
No, out of high school I joined the Air Force. I went right in the Air Force to join the special tactics teams, you know, be a combat controller, pararescue, or TACP. I ended up being a TACP.
What does that mean?
Which is a guy who pretty much goes in with Rangers or SF units. Or even SEAL units, and we are we control aircraft.
Gotcha.
To drop bombs.
Uh huh. Okay, got it. So you go into the Air Force. How long are you in the Air Force for?
4.5 years.
Uh huh. And then that's pretty odd, huh, Billy Ray? I mean, going from one branch of the military to another.
Yeah.
How do you go from Air Force to Navy?
Well, basically, I did 4.5 years in the Air Force, and in that time frame, I gained about 75 pounds. So I started powerlifting big time because I wanted to go out and try to play pro football. So my whole big thing was to get out of the Air Force and try to walk onto the Colts.
Okay,
obviously,
you were a football player in high school?
I was. I wasn't a big-time football player, but as I got bigger, you know, I started, you know.
Thinking that you could play for the Colts.
What did you play in high school? Position?
I was a fullback.
You were a fullback, and then you bulked up to 290. You're powerlifting.
Right.
And you wanted to walk on as a defensive lineman, offensive lineman?
As a fullback.
As a 290-pound fullback.
Right. Gotcha. The whole idea was Ironhead Hayward.
Yeah.
Greg Hayward.
Right.
Sure.
Back in the day, he actually played for the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
He had an eye problem. So something happened with his eye. He had some kind of
a cancer, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So basically, I had a connection. The connection fell through, and I was trying to walk on as a as a fullback.
You were going to try out for the Colts after you got out of the Air Force. So you bulked up in the Air Force to try out for the Colts. All right, now you walk out of the Air Force, you're 290 pounds.
Right.
And the age, how old were you?
I was 23.
Okay, young guy. 23-ish. Yeah.
All right, and so the connection falls through, no tryout with the Colts.
Right.
Okay, how do you get into the Navy?
Basically what happens is I'm working for a company called Ecolab. It's a pest control company that sprays for bugs. So I'm a 290-pound person spraying from bugs from midnight to 7 o'clock in the morning. And I come home one night, and I turn the TV on. It's about it's probably about 7 o'clock in the morning, and Discovery Channel's running. It's running this show on Navy SEALs going through, you know, SEAL training. I'm sitting there watching this, and I see these guys carrying bolts and logs, and it's getting their butt handed to them. And I'm like, hey, I want to do that. So I'm about 24 now. I walk into the recruiter's office. That same day, say, I want to be a SEAL. He looks at me and starts laughing. He says, you're 290 pounds, man. He goes, you know, to be a SEAL, you got to, you know, you got to, you know, be in shape. Oh. My BMI was extremely high. And I was 24, and at the time,
what's BMI mean, by the
Body Mass Index.
Thank you.
Yeah, Body Mass Index.
Good job, Billy Ray.
So, basically, I was 24 and 4 months. And for me being prior service, I couldn't be 24 in 6 months. So basically, I had 2 months to drop roughly 100 pounds to get my BMI down to where I need to be. The guy laughed. The guy said, hey, go home. Don't worry about it. There's other jobs in the Navy. You know, you can be a cook or something. I mean, literally.
Laugh all you want. It was true. Since you're 290, you might as well be a cook.
You're a big guy. Oh, you know, you can eat. Man. So I went home, you know, and I said, you know what? Hey, screw this. I'm not going to do this. You know, I'm going to go ahead and just find something else to do because I can't lose 100 pounds. Basically, it was 104 pounds in 59 days.
Yeah.
Can't do it. So I went back to work for one day, started spraying for bugs again. So you know what? This isn't going to work out. I said, I gotta start setting goals for myself again like I used to when I was younger. And I basically had my Ecolab truck outside my house, didn't go to work for like 3 or 4 days. The boss came by, said, what's going on? I threw him the keys. I said, I'm going to be a Navy SEAL. He laughed at me. And 59 days later, I lost 105 pounds, walked in to the recruiter's office. He didn't know who I was because if you lose 105 pounds, your face goes from big basketball to you know, tight and skinny. Mm. So my whole face changed. Everything
How
changed
How
did
you lose 105
me.
Pounds in 59 days?
Basically, I wouldn't sell it to Jenny Craig, but I'll tell you this right now. It's probably the most unhealthy thing you can do. I basically hardly ate. I ate fruit mostly through the day. Just to kind of, you know, curb my appetite, drink a lot of water, and at nighttime I ate a very small baked potato and a very small chicken breast and went to bed starving.
Yeah.
And I worked out, honestly, people may think it's a joke, but I worked out probably 6 times a day.
Nonstop.
Oh. And I lost it.
Doing what kind of workout? Were you just purely running, sweating out the fat or what?
It was a lot of running. It was a lot of weight training still, but the weight training wasn't like, you know, 10 sets of two. It wasn't like that. It was like more like I got to the point where I was doing 100 reps of, like, everything for, like, four and five sets. So I was doing, like, 400 or 500 reps for, like, you know, for, like, a routine.
Yeah.
And I just got to the point where my endurance got sick, and I started swimming a little bit, and I started hitting the elliptical, the bike. Whenever I was sitting at home on the couch, it was like I would feel guilty. So I would ride the bike, and I'd go back home, and I'd be tired. I'm like, hey, man, you need to drop some more weight. I go back and hit the elliptical trainer. And then, like, when my legs got tired of running, I would do something else. And I just did it to a point where it became, you know,
jeez.
It was just.
So 105 pounds in 59 days, walk back into the Navy recruiter's office, and what does he say when he sees you?
He didn't know who I was. And I said, hey, you know, it's the same fat boy that was in here, you know, 2 months ago.
I still want to be a SEAL.
I still want to be a SEAL. And he said, hey, man, take the PST. And that's our screening test to get into BUDS. And I barely passed it. I passed like 1 second on the swim. You know, I wasn't a great swimmer.
But since we mentioned the BMI, you went from what to what as far as your body mass index goes?
I really can't give you the figures on that. But I know for a fact I went from 293 all the way down to like, it was like 187, 188.
God, I'm having a hard time losing like 5 more pounds. Jeez, right? It's terrible.
Yeah, it's not healthy.
That's not.
It's not.
This is only the beginning of the story. It's 7:20 a.m. This is the beginning of the David Goggins story. This could take hours, so let's get back to it. It's 7:20 in the morning. David Goggins, U.S. Navy SEAL, is in studio, part of our War Stories package, and we'll hear more of David Goggins' story coming right up on Scott and BR.
Double X 10.
7:24 in the morning on Scott and BR. I want to hustle this up as much as we can because U.S. Navy SEAL David Goggins is in studio. This guy's amazing. When they told us about him when we went down to the SEAL facility, I had not really heard much about him. I kind of started researching him a little bit online and found out, Billy Ray, it was 2006, I believe, Dave, where you parachuted in to start the Ironman in Hawaii.
I think that was 2008.
2008?
Yeah, when I did that.
Can you imagine? So. You're gonna do the full Ironman in Kona, okay? You're gonna swim the 2.4, bike the 112, and then run the marathon.
Sure.
But before you even do that, you're gonna get up in an airplane, you're gonna parachute into the water, and then you're gonna start the race.
Yeah, it intimidates the rest of the field, right?
Yeah, well, I shouldn't intimidate anybody. You know, 200-pound man is not intimidating 140-pound people.
All right, so David Goggins, you've heard the beginning of the story. The guy goes into the recruiter's office after spending 4.5 years in the Air Force and then working in the pest control business and going, I got to do something with my life. He loses 105 pounds in 59 days, gets into the Navy, and somehow then, how did you get to Buds and to the Navy SEALs?
Basically what happened was I ended up going through 3 hell weeks pretty much.
Why three?
Well, the first one I got to... I think it was like Wednesday night, and I had a ruptured hernia. And then I went all the way through. And then the third one, I went all the way through.
Why'd you go back for the third one? Why'd you have to do it?
Well, the second one, after I graduated that one, or after I went through Hell Week, before the second phase, I got hurt. So I got rolled back and went through another Hell Week. Mm-hmm. And basically in that third class, I went all the way through and didn't get hurt.
Now, you were telling us yesterday when we talked off the air that you were not a good swimmer. You
right.
just barely passed the test to even get into Navy SEAL training.
Right.
But then while the other guys were kind of sleeping at night,
right.
you were training through the night learning how to swim.
Well, basically what happened was I wasn't a very good side stroker. I could swim pretty good, like okay freestyle, but I wasn't a good side stroker. So basically what I would do is that in Buds, they give you really good, you know, teaching. You know, like all the teaching there is great.
Yep.
So I would take that teaching, and I would practice with, you know, like I'm with the guys in the pool. And at nighttime, what I would do is I would show my ID at the gate, and they'd always lock up our pool. And the fence is probably about 15 feet. So what I would do is I would crawl, or I would climb over the fence, and I would swim my own and practice the techniques. Until, I just got better. And before I graduated Buds, I was one of the best swimmers.
How many hours would you spend late at night in that pool?
Well, it got to the point where I'd actually bring my wife in with me because I also had to practice drown-proofing because I wasn't really good at drown-proofing either because I'm very negative buoyant. So I called it pretty much controlled drowning for me. So I would I'd be there a couple hours.
And what is drown-proofing?
Drown-proofing is where they tie your hands and feet up, and you have to bob for 5 minutes, and then you have to float in the floating part. For people who can't float, you know, it's pretty difficult.
You have no body fat.
Exactly.
You will sink like a stone.
You sink like a stone.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. Right. So.
And, honey, I want to bring you to watch me do this whole deal. And your wife is in it.
Had these pest control guys figured out how to tap into what Goggins is, honestly, they could have worked this guy 24 hours a day. They could have had the best pest control guy
no
of all
doubt.
Time. All right. So David Goggins now gets into the SEALs, and he says to us yesterday off the air, he goes, have you guys ever heard of Marcus Luttrell and the Lone Survivor? And we go, heard of him. It's what inspired this entire deal of getting to know the SEALs. Explain to us the story of your connection to Luttrell and how you became ultimately an ultra marathon runner to raise money and awareness for fallen SEALs.
Well, basically, as you know, I was at Buds for quite a long time. So being there so long, I met a lot of different students. And Marcus Luttrell was one of the first ones I met. I think he was in class 227 or 228, I'm not for sure, maybe even both of them. And I was in class 230. That was my first class. So as I was rolling in, he was rolling out. So he was like our big brothers. So he took a shining to me. I was I started gaining some weight back, and I was kind of a bigger guy then at the time.
And he's a big dude,
He's a big dude. So, like, big guys going through Buds kind of, you know, like both of us weren't great runners because, you know, you're carrying a lot of weight. So we're sitting there. He couldn't run well. I couldn't run that well at the time. And then we started talking, became decent friends. After he graduated, I was still there because then it was 231 and then again in 235. In 237, his twin brother comes through. His twin brother's name is Morgan Luttrell. So he comes through. So everybody graduates. I graduate. Both the twins graduate. They're all gone doing their thing. So I do my first deployment over, and then I come back home. and then do my second one over, come back home.
Over where?
Over to Iraq.
Uh-huh.
When I get back home, they send me to military free fall school. Marcus Luttrell is with the SDV team, and they're in Afghanistan at this time. Myself and Morgan Luttrell are at free fall school in Yuma, Arizona. And at the time of the Lone Survivor incident, when that went down, we were getting ready to do our very last free fall jump to graduate free fall school. So before we got in the plane, me and him were talking, and I could tell something was wrong. So we get up in the plane and we land, you know, we do our last jump. And he's like, hey, you know what? He's having a bad time with something. So, you know, something's not right with him. The next morning when we're getting ready to leave, he says, hey, man, I'm going to tell you something what happened. My mom called me up and Marcus is missing. I had no idea about the whole incident yet. I had no idea. But so he got a call. People were calling his mom up. His mom calls him up. And then everything gets, you know, everything's out now that this big incident happened.
Right. Let me just back up for everybody that may not remember the Luttrell story. He's been on, he's taken up 2 hours of the show, and honestly, we could keep going for hours and hours more. Luttrell goes into Afghanistan with four other SEALs. Is it four?
Three.
Three other SEALs. And before you know it, they are surrounded by Taliban fighters, and there's hundreds of them. And I can get into way more detail with the story, but the long story short is three of the four guys are killed, and they fight until the very last second, until literally, I hate to be gory about it, but till their heads are blown off. I mean, literally. Luttrell finds his way into this little Afghanistani village. They nurse him back to some form of health until finally the Army Rangers, as I recall, wind up saving him. And he wrote the story about, you know, his fallen comrades. Now, you went to school with all these guys that died out there, right?
Exactly, right.
And so when you find out about what happened, somehow what clicks in your mind that says, I'm going to do something spectacular to raise awareness and raise money for these guys and other guys like them, families?
Well, basically, I was kind of tied to Morgan because I was kind of there when everything was going down.
Did you wind up going to Texas to the house, to the ranch when everybody was there?
No, I was actually home. And I had to get back into training. So I was home and I was back and doing, I think I went to Trade Ed where I was teaching weapons or something like that.
Gotcha.
I forget what happened. But this was in, this was like in June time frame. And I sat around for a few months, and I was like, you know what? And then something hit me. I said, hey, I got to do something for this. And that's when I Googled the 10 hardest races in the world.
Googled the 10? Look, my friends died.
Right.
They were SEALs. They got shot. They got killed. They got ambushed, et cetera, et cetera. Luttrell survives.
Right.
And I'm going to do something for them, for their families?
Well, you know what? For me, my conscience weighs heavy on me a lot, and a lot of times it interferes with things I do. And my conscience weighed heavy because all those guys, you know, I knew personally. So I just wanted to, you know, do something, you know, for their kids. And so that's when I Googled 10 hardest races in the world. And I was weighing about anywhere from 260 to 280 to 290. I was really heavy.
You put the weight back on.
Put the weight back on after SEAL training.
Jeez, you lose 105 pounds only to put it all back on.
Yep.
Your wife has got to be one incredible the understanding she has for you and what you do basically off and on and
on. if anybody would ever meet her, they'd understand why we're together.
Wow. Yeah, I'd like to meet her.
She's
so,
something else.
So David Goggins has this website, davidgoggins.com. Mm-hmm. So now the story is he's friends with all the guys that are with Luttrell, and I think it was called Operation Red Hawk.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys die out in Afghanistan. Luttrell comes home, goes and visits all the families, and tells the families how heroic their sons were in battling till the very end. You decide you're going to do something special for their families, for their kids. You Google the 10 hardest races in the world. What do you find out?
Well, I think it was Operation Red Wing.
Red Wing?
I think so. But anyway, I found out that the Badwater 135 is up there on the top of the list.
Badwater 135. You're going to run 135 miles through the desert, through the heat.
Right, okay. Right. Through Death Valley, it's like 130 degrees, 135 miles. So
135
I thought,
miles.
Yeah.
So me and my wife look at this race, and I said, you know, this has to be a stage race. Like, you run like 20 miles a day. I had no idea about this ultra world. I had no idea that people were running 100 miles at a time, you know, without sleeping or anything. So I called the race director up that same day, say, hey, I want to do this race. And Chris Kosman's a big-time stickler about his race, which he should be. It's one of the hardest races.
Well, how many people do this race?
90.
90 people do.
And there's you know, like thousands of applicants who apply. So at the time, I wasn't a runner. I had never run a marathon, nothing. And he goes,
I want to run your 135-mile
right.
race.
I'm ready to go.
Well, being a SEAL, I thought that would count for something. It didn't count for nothing for this. So I tried to throw the SEAL card out there. SEAL card didn't work. And he goes, hey, but, you know, you're in San Diego. And I call him on a Tuesday or Wednesday. And he goes, well, there's a 24-hour race around a one-mile track in San Diego. It's called the San Diego One Day. If you can run 100 miles in 24 hours, I'll consider you in my race. Wow. So I said, I did the math, and I said, you know what? I'm going to go out there and do it. I haven't – literally no running whatsoever.
And weighing 270 pounds.
Yeah, I was a big guy, really huge guy.
And you're going to run 100 miles in 24 hours.
That was the plan.
Okay, so what happens?
So I go now, to
– this is a Wednesday. You talk to the race director. When's the race?
The race is on a Saturday.
Oh, Jesus.
That next Saturday.
All right, please.
So basically, you know, a couple of days later, that Friday comes, I go to the packet pickup in a tank top, and I have a milkshake in my hand. And I see all these skinnier guys out there, and the race director looks at me and goes, you must be David Goggins. I go, yeah, I am. So he gives me my stuff, and I show up at the start line at 10 a.m., and I start running. But the funny thing about it was I actually covered the first 70 miles in like 13 hours. I mean, I was just flying because my body was like, I guess, so fresh from never running. You know, I was pretty tapered.
Yeah, so, I guess so.
So I get to 70 miles, and I sit down in this chair, and that's when everything fell apart. And November in San Diego is pretty cold, and I was eating Ritz crackers and Mileplex was my nutrition for this risk. I had no idea what I was doing. And I get down, and I sit down in this blue chair. My wife looks at me, and I had to – and once you stop, it's game over. And I had to go to the bathroom, and I couldn't get out of the chair to go to the bathroom. I – looked at my wife, said, do you love me? She said, yeah. I go, well, I'm gonna go to the bathroom myself. And basically, that's when the game started. That's when the Rocky music kicked on. You know, the 14th round when Apollo Creed hits Rocky, and Apollo Creed walks around and sees Rocky getting up. That's when everything started for me, when I had to really see what I was made of. I had 30 miles to go. I was peeing blood. I was going into kidney failure. It was no good.
Did they not have any medical people around the race to maybe say, sir, maybe you should?
Well, I had my wife there. It was probably like maybe midnight at the time when this was going on, and nobody could see me. And I'm a real big stickler on, hey, you may be sucking, you may be hurting, but just don't show anybody how bad you really are.
Mm-hmm.
My wife has seen me in really bad situations, and she said, you're going to the doctor. I said, I got 30 miles to go. I said, I got to figure out a way to get off this thing. So,
did you change your shorts?
No, I didn't.
Ugh.
No, I didn't. I didn't have any to change. But my wife, being the good woman she is, she cleaned me up as good as possible.
Ugh.
And she helped me off the chair. And she walked with me for about 10 miles. I was doing about a 37-minute mile. And she was basically...
I mean, that's crawling 37 minutes.
That's basically what it was. And she said, you're not going to make it. And she goes, let's bag this and go home and go to the doctor. At that time, I I had broken almost all the bones in my feet, like the metatarsals, for being so heavy, hitting the concrete. I was in a lot of pain, and I started running again, and I ran pretty quick.
Did you finish 100 miles?
I did 101 miles in 19 hours.
101 and 19.
Yep.
But there was a 24-hour race.
Goggins was done.
Goggins had it.
Goggins was done.
All right, hold on a second. It's 7:38 in the morning.
Wow.
So here's a guy, 270 pounds, commits to running 100 miles to start raising awareness and money for the guys that died in Afghanistan, the other Navy SEALs. He's going to raise money for their kids. But then after this 100-mile race, something else happens that turns David Goggins from Navy SEAL to ultramarathon man, the 100-mile man. We'll hear more of what happened next with David Goggins on Scott and BR.
Double X1090.
All right, if you're just getting with us, it's the Scott and BR show from the Cox Communication Studios of XX1090. Still, by the way, you can take pictures of the Scott and BR trucks rolling around San Diego. Be the first one to put pictures up on Facebook on the Scott and BR show fan page. And we're monitoring it every day, and we'll get you tickets to see the Padres and the Brewers this weekend.
What's going
to
stop somebody from using yesterday's pictures?
I don't know, but yesterday's pictures are hilarious.
They're great.
All right, U.S. Navy SEAL David Goggins is in studio. You've been listening because you can't possibly move away from your radio when you're listening to this guy talk. So now, David, you decide to run this 100-mile race in San Diego, and your plan is to run Badwater. So when you call the race director to tell him that you did the 100 miles, what does he say?
It was pretty funny. He was happy that I did it, but I only ran for 19 hours. And he was like, hey, that's the one thing that he looked at very negatively. And I heard it in his voice. And I didn't think I was going to get in. So basically, I Googled again some more 100-mile races before the application had to be turned in for Badwater, which was July 15th. There's one more race I could do, another 100-miler in Hawaii called the Hurt 100. It has 30,000 feet of climbing over 100 miles. And at the time, like, under 30 people had ever finished this race. And I had no idea. I'd never even been on a trail before. It was it's a trail run. And so this race was in July. And I signed up for that race and finished that race and overnighted my application to Chris Kaufman. And Chris Kaufman said, if a guy's this stupid, we'll definitely let him in the race. So he let me in the race.
All right. So now you've run the 100 miles in San Diego. You ran the 100 miles in Hawaii. You did Badwater, which is 135 miles. How long did that take?
That took the first year 30 hours, the second year 25.
All right. Jeez, 25 hours of straight running. And have you found that through all of these crazy endurance kinds of ventures, that you've been able to raise a lot of money for fallen Navy SEALs and their families?
We have. We stopped counting. We're up near $1 million right now.
Wow.
And but we've raised tons of awareness. You know, a lot of magazine companies have been generous enough to put me on front covers of stuff, you know, and that's raised a lot of awareness for different things.
Wow. Well, listen, I want to say to the business community of San Diego, if I could, that coming up on May 8th, it's a Saturday night, at the home of Craig and Rebecca Irving in Point Loma, there is a huge Navy SEAL special warfare community get-together. It's completely sold out, but there is still time for corporate donations. This is an amazing event, and you can call 619-238. I'm giving out the fax number. 619-238-4393. 619-238-4393. If you want to support the Navy SEALs with corporate dollars and help raise money like David Goggins is doing, we would love to have you on May 8th. Billy Ray, what do you make of David Goggins here?
Incredible. And just you have to have some switch in your body that normal humans don't have, to where you can turn off the pain and be able to continue going. I've never heard anything like this.
Well, I know every human being has that switch.
Uh-huh. I don't.
trust me.
No, I don't.
You know what? Do you have any kids?
I do.
I bet the switch would turn on if it had to. Yeah, exactly.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. And basically, you have to find your passion. If your passion is your kids, if your passion is making $1 million, if your passion is being a SEAL, if you're very passionate about something, there's nothing you can't do. But if you're not passionate about something, like if I say, hey, let's go run 100 miles, you could mm-hmm. be like, no, you're not passionate about it.
Right.
Because, you know, so that's the whole thing about it. Like right now, I'm in a very different place. So if my feet were to be broken and I was like I was 4 years ago, no way. No way right now I could do what I did then. I can run 100 miles now, but the pain I felt then, there's no way now. My mind's not there.
Well, you'd have to put on like 80 pounds before
exactly.
you do it, right?
Well, see, that was part of the determination.
Oh, man.
You know?
So now your latest venture, though, has been that you were going to do the ride across America,
right.
3,000 miles from San Diego to Annapolis, Maryland.
Correct.
But that is now going to be put off. That's not going to happen for you, is it?
No, that's not going to happen now. I actually, some people know about this, but I was born, everybody's born with the hole in their heart, but most people's closed up by the time they're one. Mine's been undetected now for 35 years. So I went in last year, May 14th, had heart surgery, and they tried to close it up. The hole is still there. I went in yesterday, and they have to go in July and do open heart surgery to fix the supposedly fixed hole, to, you know, kind of go in and refix it.
And you told us that the first surgery was through your femoral artery.
Right.
But now it's going to be a little bit different.
Yeah, now it's going to be open heart. They're going to actually crack me open, go in there, and put me on bypass, and then you know, do the whole shindig so they can actually go in there and see. Because the whole idea is I want to get back on dive stats. I want to be, you know, a warrior again. And me having a hole in my heart, I can't jump out of planes, and I can't dive. But what's funny, though, I can run across the desert again, so that's what we'll do one last time before I have open heart surgery.
So when is the Badwater race?
I think it starts July 12th, and then the very next week I'll be having open heart surgery.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me. Are you in any danger because of this hole in your heart?
No, that's the thing about it, is that I would be in danger probably like, I would have never discovered it if I was not doing so much with my body. Usually people don't discover these things until like 60 or 70, and then they wake up one day blue. So that's kind of happens. But see, for me, I started suffocating on myself because of all the work that I did, that, you know, my heart was getting worked really hard. And now them going in, and it's a very small hole now. So basically I feel great. I feel 100% compared to how I used to feel. So, you know, there is no, I'm not going to pass out and die out there. I put it that way.
So instead of doing the Race Across America, 3,000 miles on a bike, you're going to just do the Badwater 135-mile race again.
Right. The reason why I can't do the Ram is because of the doctors aren't for sure right now about how an 8 or 9 or 10-day race will affect my heart because of the constant 22, 23 hours a day with no recovery. You know, they've seen me go with my heart, you know, 40, 48 hours straight. They know what's going to happen then. It's the unknown of, like, I'm like one of the first, I mean, I'm like the first person they've seen ever, and out of every doctor I've come to, that this procedure has not worked in their heart or for a person to have what I have and be doing what I'm doing.
Oh, my God. It's insane. It's sick. So let me ask you this question. So talk to me here. So I'm planning now because the switch went off for me. And I'm not sure it went off for me the way it went off for you, where I'm going to run 100 miles, because that's not the case. But something happened where I said, I want to do this Ironman. I watched people cross the finish line in Hawaii last year and said, I got to do that.
Right.
I've got to do that.
Right.
And I'm planning on doing it in October.
Nice.
And so, advice, you did the race.
You know what, the advice I'll give you is don't get caught up in the hoopla. Be your own man out there, which means if you can put blinders on, don't look at any racers. A lot of females, a lot of people are going to pass you. Don't let that man card come up. Just do your own thing. Race like you're racing by yourself. And you're going to have a great time out there. It is one of the best races for cheering you on and keeping you going forward that you ever be in. You know, these 100-mile races, you don't see anybody. So
I actually watch. Listen, so Goggins has this website, davidgoggins.com, right? And they show video of David finishing at Badwater. And I'm going, that's it? They don't have video of him out on the course? And when he finishes, Billy Ray, it's not like there's 50,000 people in a stadium and he's coming in and yeah, you know, I did it. There's like 12 people there. Yeah. I mean, it's the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen in my life. The guy just ran 135 miles. There's 12 people waiting for him.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, what the hell is that?
No, it's crazy. One time I ran 100 miles and it was my wife and the timekeeper. It was 2 o'clock in the morning and I'm finishing at 2 o'clock in the morning. My wife is there and the timekeeper, and there's a chalk line, and I'm like, wow. Here's your belt buckle. Go home. I'm like,
jeez.
Roger that.
Writes down your time.
Yep.
There you go. Thank you. Congratulations. Good night.
That's it.
Oh, my God.
I would think that to be a Navy SEAL, you got to be a little crazy, right? I mean, you just have to be to endure the pain, because that's why so few guys make it through. But most Navy SEALs, I would think, have to look at you and go, okay, you're way beyond Navy SEAL crazy. You're like certifiable crazy.
Well, most people who know me, SEALs are very driven people. Most people who know me as, that guy may have an issue. That guy may have an issue.
An issue. Just one, huh?
Right.
Just one. You know, they got medication to fix things like that, you know?
I may have to look into that.
7:52 in the morning, U.S. Navy SEAL David Goggins, part of the War Stories features here on the Scott and BR Show. And honestly, what a storyteller he is. And I got to just once again give you a heads up. It's May 8th. It's Saturday, May 8th. It's a benefit for the Naval Special Warfare Foundation. It's here in San Diego. You can do table sponsorship, or you can, you know, donate as much as you want. 619-238-4393. We are looking for more corporate sponsorship. Unfortunately, the event is completely sold out. There'll be the wives of over 100 deployed Navy SEALs there that night. And a chance to say thank you to them. There'll be also all kinds of active duty Navy SEALs. And if you're a fan of these guys the way we've become, that maybe Saturday, May 8th is something you want to support. Mm-hmm. And again, we can give you more information. In fact, Pratty, can you do us a favor? Put this up on our website.
We'll do.
All right, thank you. David Goggins, you're a sick, sick human being, man.
Pleasure.
Hey, thank you so much, guys. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Are you comfortable with guys like fawning on you and stuff like we are, and more so me even.
You know what? The way my mind works, right? Like right now, this whole time I've been in here, I haven't really heard much you guys have said. I've answered the questions. My mind right now is thinking about what I have to do.
What do you got
to
do?
I got to get out of here and I got to do some training. So, you know, I very rarely get, you know, really into conversations with people. My mind's always working about I got to do something. So
I wasn't listening to a word you were saying. No idea what you just said. It doesn't matter to me. I got to get out of here and I got to get in the pool. I got to swim 5,000 yards this morning.
I just can't get over 290 pounds. I can't get that number out of my head, 290 pounds.
The Goggins diet. Oy. I love it. We should do an infomercial. Beautiful.